At the end of the day, I think an entrepreneur is someone that searches for problems and is capable of creating a solution for that problem.
Euge Oyer has been sharing videos on YouTube since he was a teenager, showing off his skateboard tricks. It may have been niche, but he built a following and discovered a love and interest in both YouTube and the world of online business. From a young age, Euge saw how powerful the internet could be. And on top of that, he realized that modern marketing wasn't something you could read about in a textbook. So today, he's here to share not only how he's learned what type of marketing and connections work in internet world, but also how he's used that knowledge to build his own digital marketing and business school for Spanish entrepreneurs.
Welcome to Everything is Teachable, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes to learn how everyday creators have transformed their skills and passions into online courses and businesses. To introduce this week's episode, here's your host, Melissa Guller.
Hey everyone, I'm Melissa from Team Teachable, and today I'm here with Eugenio Oyer. Euge has dedicated the last few years to helping aspiring Spanish entrepreneurs and business owners reach their goals and aspirations through YouTube videos and online courses. He is also the owner of Leader Summaries, Flash Libros, Suprive Agency, and Emprende Aprendiendo. All right, Euge, well, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Melissa. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for allowing me to butcher your name so terribly when I welcomed you. I'll do my best.
No worries.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. And to get started, did you always plan to start your own online business?
Not like that. Like my story is a little bit like with ups and downs in the online world. I studied abroad in Taipei and then in San Francisco. And when I was in San Francisco, like I started to see all this like hype about starting companies, and I immediately fall in love into that. But I only knew that, like, I was studying business administration, and I thought that that would be enough to start my company. And I jumped into it, and I wanted to do, the first thing I wanted to do, it was like a business, like an Uber for everything. I think it would be like a Postmates in United States. I wanted to bring that idea back to Barcelona, but little did I know that those kind of like big startups ideas, they need a lot of money. And luckily enough, like I ran into some mentors that stopped me in the way, and they were like really making me see the real thing, that it was not like San Francisco, and these thing kind of things, they need a lot of traction, a lot of luck, and a lot of like money. So then what I started was in the e-commerce world. I started like a company of, we were selling personalized shoes, and then we were selling watches. But it was so like natural. After that, I started doing YouTube videos. I was like telling my story, and I was like starting to get a little community. But not like when I was in university, I wasn't thinking of online business or anything. I knew I wanted to do something with business, but not like starting my own company.
I think that's a good point, that even people who have maybe a business savvy or have an interest in business didn't necessarily know about the online world. I think even in university today, I'm guessing it's not a subject that's heavily taught.
For sure. Like, I remember my marketing classes in business school, and they were horrible. Like, I was studying how to put ads on TV and like do like this really old kind of marketing. And they were not talking about like all these great things you can do on with the online world. And I think, to your point, I think people think that the online business, it's like really polarized. Like, there's these big companies and these big startups with a lot of money. And then there's like all the people that are trying to scam you. There's like a thing in between that I think you can build a solid business without need of a lot of capital or all that knowledge that you think you have to have.
Yeah, that's a great point. And not one that we've explicitly talked about in any of our previous episodes, where with online business, it's really a level playing field. You don't have to have a ton of money to start. You mm-hmm. don't need somebody else to lend you money. And frankly, a lot of people were not taught how to run an online business. So that kind of evens the playing field, because mm-hmm. even if you're just getting started, most people already don't really know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's a new world. Like, to, and also like the business of like selling courses and or information and all of that, doing it well, it will completely make you outstand of the competition. Like, people in our world think that this is a crowded market, but there's like so much opportunity, like right and left. So yeah, for sure.
So speaking of opportunity and going back to your own personal story, you said mm-hmm. you started making YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. So kind of what happened next? Keep going on your story.
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to say that my first YouTube channel was like this really niche, weird subject. I liked and I loved skateboarding, mm-hmm. but I was falling all the time and I had a really bad injury, but I still wanted to do skateboarding. So I was doing this little skateboarding with the tech decks and the fingerboards. And I recorded like my little tricks in my house, and I started to get this following. This is when I was like 17 years old. I didn't do anything with that. I didn't start any online course or anything. I tried to sell my courses on CDs, but mm-hmm. it was terrible. Imagine, like, people were like buying my CD. I had to like ship that to the guy maybe in the other part of the world. So the logistics were terrible.
But, and it could break, I'm sure, on the way.
Yeah, and like it was insane. Like, I was 17 and I was trying to do this thing that it was hard, but I started to see the power of the internet, the power of community, the power of, like, if I was playing with a little toy in my house and I had like thousands of views in my videos, like, that, I think it registered in my brain. So when I came back from my master's degrees and I was starting to do these small companies, and a lot of them were failing, some of them were doing good, I immediately did the same process. Like, okay, I'm going to tell my story on my videos. I'm going to talk about what books I'm reading. I'm going to talk about like how I'm doing this company with the shoes. Like, it was a real hassle. We had to talk with a lot of people to construct these shoes, to make them, to print them. So I think that was the initial part. And when my YouTube channel, I think I was like 3 years uploading videos, or more or less, yeah, 2 or 3 years until one of them started to grow. I think it got like 1 million views in like a week. And for me, that was like, okay, this is changing. Because after mm-hmm. that, there was like 3 or more videos that went into like 100K, 200K views. And also my other companies, the watch company and the shoe company, they were also starting to grow, but I had to choose between these two things. Like, I had my e-commerce business or this huge community I was developing about personal growth and business. So I decided to give those companies, the e-commerce, to my business partner and focus only on the YouTube side. And I immediately thought about this like same thing I was doing with e-commerce, but with courses, because I was a huge fan of taking online courses. So I was like, okay, I know this market, I know this can work. So I started to do courses on like fast reading, like reading faster. And I then partnered with a big book company here in Spain. And I created this product that was like, it's called Flash Libros. And what we do is like, I did like 28 book summaries on my best books that I was reading. And that was one of my first products that I came into market with the online world. online courses, sorry.
Yeah, those first courses, then you were partnering with somebody else. So that's a really interesting approach, right? Because then you have the power of more than one audience.
Yeah, well, this company, the partnering was, they, because I didn't know if I could like get books and do the book summaries, because mm-hmm. there's like issues with the authors and
right,
all
legal
that.
Reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I had the luck that one of the big guys that was working on that company, it was a big editorial for books. They publish books. So he was a fan of my channel. So he was like, yeah, for sure. Like, you can come. Like, the only thing we want is like you, when you put the affiliate code on the courses, you say that you're working with us. And that was great. And at the beginning, my first course on the Reading Faster was on Udemy. And I think it was good for my first course to be there because at the time, like, I didn't have any audience or I didn't have anything going. But the problem with that kind of platforms, it's good maybe if you're starting out, but the loss of control at the end was the issue for me. So then when I discovered Teachable, I was like, okay, they're letting me make my own business. That's like the big gap that I think they covered.
Yeah, and we actually haven't talked about Udemy at all in any of our podcast episodes, but I'd love to because Udemy is a great platform. But maybe can you elaborate more, since you've worked with both, what is the difference between a platform like Udemy and a platform like Teachable?
Yeah, like, well, first of all, like I was searching so much information for the perfect platform for courses. I'm talking about months. Like, it was an issue because I wanted to be in a place that let me provide a lot of value to my students, because I really think that online courses, if you make a big promise about what you're going to teach, like, after the experience of that client, if it's outstanding, you will have him coming back for more. So Udemy had that, but the problem and the difference between Udemy and Teachable is, yeah, Udemy takes control of what you're doing. So what do I mean by that? In Udemy, you upload your course, you put all your content, and every client that you bring to Udemy, you get 100% of the sale. But if they sell your course to their audience, you get 50%. That strategy for Udemy is incredible. So from their business point, I think they nailed it because they incentivize people to go there and feel like they are in control of how much they are earning with the courses. But there's a caveat that if you let them market your course, they also have control on your pricing. What do I mean? Like, if you put your course like for €300 or $300, the thing is, like, they can run promotions without you knowing. Well, they tell you, but they don't tell you, like, it's going to be these days of the month. And they bring the price down to like $10. You can opt out of this. You can say like, hey, I don't want to do it. But then you will not rank on Udemy. So, well, this is when I was using Udemy. I don't know how it works now, but that was my main concern. Also, the emails that you were getting from your clients, they're Udemy's. They let you use them, like two emails a week or two emails a month or something like that. But the business control is for Udemy. So I really think it's very important when you start a business to think about control. Like, there's a good quote that says that, okay, who tomorrow can make a decision and destroy my business? If there's like one person or company that can do that, you're in big trouble. So having your online course there, I think it's good if you want to make, like, if you just want to make like extra income and let them run your courses. But if you want to take it seriously and like start a business, I think Teachable is like the opposite. Like, Teachable, they create a great product as an infrastructure. Like, they make the students like happy to navigate in the course. Like, it's very intuitive. I always compare it like the Shopify, but for online courses, that I think is a great revolution of like how easy it is to create your website and all of that. But the difference is, like, you own everything on Teachable. Like, you put your domain, like, the emails are yours. You can integrate it very easily with all your autoresponders and everything. So I think it's a big difference. Like, and they have their own customers, I think. Like, Udemy, it's targeting the kind of people that they're teachers and they don't want to go and make the hassle for more. But if you're going to take it seriously, like, I think it's a better option going with Teachable.
Yeah, really well said. And we didn't talk about any of this before, so that was all really, yeah, I mean, we should hire you for our marketing team. That was perfection.
You explicitly told me that I don't have to talk about Teachable, but hey. It's just how I see it. Like, I've been a Teachable user for a long time now, and I really like appreciate that control that you give the business owner. Like, I see it as a different thing. Like, I see it like with Teachable, we are like in the same path. Like, okay, you want us, like me, for example, as a creator and with my team to succeed. The other thing is different. It's like, okay, come with us and like you can teach in our school. I don't know if that can like make sense.
I think it does. And we totally agree. There's definitely a space for both Udemy and Teachable in the world. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Encore, our founder, used to be an instructor using Udemy's platform. And he felt a lot of the same frustrations you did around controlling the price of his course, not being able to communicate with his students. And so when he built the first version of Teachable, it was to address a different type of creator. Like you said, somebody who wants to hustle and earn money and really be in control of their own destiny. So absolutely, there's a place for both in the world. And with Teachable, we were just trying to do something a little bit different and appeal to those creators who really want to make a living earning money online.
Nice.
So actually, let's talk about your online school. So when did you first come up with the idea to start? I'm totally going to attempt at this name. Is it Emprende Aprendiendo?
Yeah. I have to say, it's like a horrible name. No.
What does it mean in English for people listening?
It's like entrepreneurship. Like Emprende is like starting your own company. Like we have like a specific word for that. It's like learning, starting your business and learning. Like it's like entrepreneurship and learning. Like the idea is like you... I can keep learning while you are creating your own business.
I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but like, you have to see how they completely destroy the name. Like people are saying like aprende aprendiendo, emprende, like it's horrible. Now in retrospect, but the problem is like we reached 1 million subscribers like 5 days ago.
And oh my gosh! Congratulations.
Thank you for that. And we're talking about this name thing and. Like my business partners and I were like, we cannot change it now. It's like too late.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that though is in spite of the name that you do have, you've still obviously found great success. Mm-hmm. So I think even a little lesson could be for anybody listening. Maybe don't get too hung up on the name.
For sure. Like the name at the end and the logo, like after you create the value, they will associate the name and the value to that thing that you created, not the other way around.
Yeah, well said. And actually, Teachable used to be called Fedora,
which
is like a kind of hat. Yeah. And Encore picked it just so that he could get up and going and he knew he had something great to build and didn't want to get stuck on the name. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until a few years in that we rebranded to Teachable, which of course makes way more sense. So maybe that's a nice little tip for any listeners in the very early phases. You know, just pick a name and go. I wouldn't worry too much about it as long as you're sharing something great. But back to your school, name aside. So tell us about how it all got started.
Well, the thing is like after I had some success with the first e-commerce business, also my first schools, things started to go well. But I started to remember what had I really learned in business school. And I was like, okay, things are not what they were telling me. So I saw like this big problem. At the end of the day, I think an entrepreneur is someone that searches for problems and is capable of creating a solution for that problem. So I knew the business, education, university had a problem, but I didn't know what to do at the time. So after I started to get in some success, talking to some mentors and other people, other entrepreneurs, I thought, hey, there's like a thing we can do, I think. And what I did was like select one of the things that I really liked about business school and was the business cases where they talked about a company and they tell you the story. And I think it's a really interesting way of learning because your attention gets really engaged into the story of the company and why did he started it and what the entrepreneur or the founder did in the later stages. And all of that kind of stories, I think, makes people really engaged. So I decided to create YouTube videos with my team about these stories, about business cases, what they were doing. And we started to put these videos for free on like Facebook and YouTube. And I really thought that it was going to take us like for 1 year to reach, I don't know, like 50,000 subscribers and have this small community. But for my surprise, like in the first month, one of our videos reached like 10 million views on Facebook. And another one also in YouTube reached like 1 million views. And from then, every Sunday, we're like sharing these cases, business cases, with the idea of creating this community. From the beginning, we said that we were an online platform, an online academy. Like we were going to sell courses. That's, I think, a little nuance that people that start YouTube channels and after want to sell, the community gets like frustrated, like, oh, you're going to sell, blah, blah, blah. We were like telling directly to people like, okay, we're doing these business cases for free, but there's like a school behind here. So the idea was to bring the best teachers possible to teach entrepreneurs and business owners about this new information. Like I thought like in business school, the information was like from years ago. Business books were really old. I wanted this new type of studying, like, I don't know, things about marketing, things about strategy. So I was the one doing one of the first courses, the ones that I thought I could like do. But after that, we were bringing new teachers. And the thing is like, well, we have this YouTube channel, this Facebook presence, and also we also have the online courses.
So how many teachers are there now?
Right now, I think we're like four. And we're going to launch a new teacher this September. He's going to teach about how to build your own SaaS company. Like the idea is that like we're trying to reach for people that already have experience in those worlds. And we create like a good deal for both of them. And we bring them to our community.
I think that's a really great idea to bring in other teachers other than just yourself, because it really expands the amount of knowledge that your students can have.
For sure. I think, and even if you are not the teacher, like I see opportunities in different markets that if you really understand how to create and market your school, you can even not be there. So it's just going out of the box. I really wanted to bring the best of the kind of teachers in different topics. So the idea was that like try and search them and bring them.
Well, I think you bring up an interesting point, which is that there are two fairly separate skill sets involved in having an online course business. Mm-hmm. One is creating a great online course, teaching something to the students, helping them achieve some kind of outcome. But the other half is finding students. It's the marketing, it's the business building side.
For sure. I think I'm very lucky because I had this business background and I had already successful e-commerce and I was running Facebook ads and I was running these campaigns with influencers and all of that. I also love to teach. So in my case, it's like this combination of both of these skills. But I've seen other people that, hey, I am just a teacher and that's it. And there's other people that, hey, I'm just a businessman. So I think like being knowledgeable of who are you, it's going to make things very easy. Because I thought I told you before the podcast, like right now we're investing also, putting money on other teachers to create their own schools. And it's interesting because for me, it's very easy to make an online course. I can do an online course like in 1 month now. So I tend to think that other people are going to be able. So I put this like pressure on these new teachers. And it's not always like that. Like everyone has his own rhythm, his own path. And that's why we're talking about the creator challenge and having deadlines and having this pressure. I think it's very good.
Do you think for people who feel more comfortable with just the teaching, or people who maybe feel more comfortable with just the business side, would you recommend that they try to learn how to do both? Or do you think there's a good argument to be made for finding a business partner or somebody else to come in with you?
The best thing you can do is like find someone that is really good at what you're not and double down on what you are good. I think, as I said, for me, it's both of my things that I love, like business and teaching. But if you're really good at teaching, hey, there's probably someone there that you can partner with. And I'm not saying like don't know nothing about business or marketing. Like you should read about it. You should like think about it. But if your superpower is teaching, like you should read more about how to teach better, like new methodologies, new systems. Because at the end of the day, if you're running an online course or a school, like your product is your teaching. So if you can better that and you can make it better, always a better product will make you more money at the end. Like it's gonna, maybe it's not gonna attract more customers, but the customers that buy and have that experience of learning, they're gonna talk about you and they're gonna buy everything that you keep doing.
Mm-hmm. I like how you called it a superpower. I do think teaching is a superpower.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's a superpower that you can like improve over time. Like I don't think like people are born with that superpower. Like for me, it was a thing that if you go and see my first YouTube videos, you would cringe. Like they're horrible. But it's a thing that you keep doing, you keep like, and it's also good for learning. Like I remember my first time that I was putting those videos, it was more for me than for the people there, because first of all, there were no people. When you start, there's no one that's listening. So that's a good trick to start. Like if you want to start and you think, oh, nobody's going to watch me or nobody's going to take my course, hey, do it for you. Like the best way to like really learn in a deep level what you want to learn, like it's teaching it. Like if you teach it, you have to make it simple. If you have to make it simple, you will really put the effort of like making those complex ideas like simple to understand.
Mm-hmm. I do think that's a great piece of advice. If you have to teach something to somebody else, the level of understanding you need is so much deeper.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to communicate, I think, and to become a good teacher. It takes a lot of good practice.
For sure.
Let's talk a little bit more about your social media. Like we've hinted at YouTube a mm-hmm. little bit, but I know you also have quite a following on Instagram these days. Mm-hmm. And I think social media is a very hot topic in 2019 and has been for a few years. So I'm curious to hear more. How do you find and engage followers?
Yeah, this for me has been like a long subject for a long time. Well, social media at the end is a way of communicating with your audience, with your people. And I think it's going to go even bigger. Like I have other YouTube friends that have a lot of followers and they're always scared because they think, oh, this maybe it's a fad, it's gonna go away. I'm like, no way. Like this is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Like at the end, what social media does is options for people to consume what they want. And I think there's also benefits and also good things and bad things. Like if you use social media to produce content and to engage with your followers and to like create this community, that's going to bring a lot of benefit to your business. But if you use social media to consume content and to, I don't know, these spirals of like seeing other people's lives, that's going to get you away from your goals. Like I've seen that on me. Like we're talking about the Instagram thing. Instagram was the first social media I started to use. I was like making book summaries when I started, even before like I done my YouTube channel. And the thing is like with Instagram, it was so hard to get the following at the beginning. And I can tell some strategies that now I know to make it easier. But I think like if you really want to grow your business, you should focus on some social media, but it's not going to be what is going to make that click. The way that I would recommend someone to use social media with the online, if you want to create a school, is to create incredible free content on that platform without any kind of sale, like the actual content on the platform, and then get really good at Facebook ads. Well, Facebook ads, you can put ads on Instagram. And if you link your Instagram account with your ads, the thing is like a lot of people are gonna buy your courses, but also a lot of people are gonna start following following you, because if you have good content, it's a way of having awareness into your account. That's how I keep growing nowadays. Like, also, obviously, generate good content. But the thing is, like, it's so difficult to get organic traffic these days. There's so much people doing the same thing in a lot of niches. So I will focus on that, like giving free value. Like, everybody knows how, more or less at this year, how to use social media. It's like, give free value without asking for anything. And then once in a while, put some awareness into your products. But the thing is, like, I think a combination of the free value and also getting really good with the ads, it's gonna be really interesting.
Hmm. I like how you talked a lot about storytelling a few times earlier in the episode too, and sharing who you are and not just sharing like a pitch on the total opposite end. I'm curious too, storytelling, I think, shows up in very different ways on different platforms. It looks different in a blog post than it does on Instagram, than it does on YouTube. Maybe for people who are just getting started or don't quite understand which platform they might want to use, I know YouTube and Instagram are some of your biggest, but what are the differences between how you use those platforms?
Yeah, nowadays I have a team for all the social media, and then there's like little nuances about how to use them. At the end, like, YouTube is long form content, like 10 to 20 minutes, where you give this value. And the idea is, like, for your community, there's three pieces of content that I think you should start to think about. There's one piece of content that is, I call it curiosity plus education. That the idea with this kind of content, let's think about, for example, my example about our community's entrepreneurs and future leaders. Okay, we're going to try and make one piece of content every week that's about curiosity and also education. That piece of content, it has the ability to expand the market. We're trying to make it fun. We're trying to make it that people that are not even in our market start to come to our market. For example, we would put, like, did you know the story about how Amazon started? Or did you know how the story about Amancio Ortega, the founder of Zara, how did he reach so many millions? So there's like broad topics, and we bring in this new audience with those curiosity. And after, when they're seeing that piece of content, we are starting to teach them, but in a subtle way. Like, at the end of the consumption of that content, they have to think, oh, I have been entertained, and I also know these new things. Like, this entrepreneurship thing, it's kind of cool. Let me go and seek more. After that piece of content, that is one. The second one is things that your market will always search. For example, in our market, how to do a business plan. That's a thing that people will always search and will keep searching forever and ever. That's a piece of content that they will rank very good in the search engines. Like, if you put how to start a company in Spanish, there would probably be a video of us like teaching you that. And then there's like the other part that are things that are from nowadays, like things that happen in the last month. For example, when the new GDPR thing came and about the emails and how to treat data, well, you can talk about that if it's a thing that concerns your market. So I think those three pieces of content are key to follow in YouTube. And if you're starting, the one about the things that happened last month, forget about it, because there's no people still yet in your community. I will focus on the curiosity and education, and also things that they will always search, because that kind of videos or content will always be there. That's on YouTube. And the thing is, like, in YouTube, you have a search thing. So that's how we structure the strategy. But Instagram, it's like a different thing. Instagram, you want to put content that really has this hypey kind of look to it. Instagram is very nowadays. Like, I wouldn't focus a lot of time making content that will last forever, because it doesn't work like that. Instagram is like like a news feed, like something new. It really puts pressure on things that are now. Like even if you, for example, I use it as like, okay, I'm in vacation. Like here is where I am, or I'm in this conference. Like this is a picture with me and the conference. Like those kind of things that are more in the present moment work a lot better on that platform.
I think you also said this, but I want to emphasize when you said that YouTube is a search engine. Mm-hmm. People can go there, search for different terms. That's very different from how people use Instagram, which I'm sure we're all a little guilty of. You just kind of keep scrolling and whatever catches your eye, catches your eye. It's not as intentional, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. But also, if I had to start now, I will focus on like YouTube, where I will practice my communication skills. Like it's free. Nobody's like, you're not charging for anybody to look your content there. So it's like a practicing platform. And I also will focus on, if I have already a product, like an online course, on the ads part. I think a lot of people are focusing on like content, and that's great. But sometimes you have a beautiful, perfect piece of content that you put out there and nobody sees it. And you're like, okay, I put my soul into it, and that can crush you. With the part of like putting great ads, you can drive people into that piece of content. And if you make a transition after into like a soft sell, then that's what I normally say at the beginning, like something that can people be willing to pay, like a low ticket or something like that, you can make, I don't know, even if you don't win any money with the ads, you're bringing people awareness to your brand, to your school, and that has a lot of value too.
Yeah, that's a great point. And if people haven't learned anything about Facebook ads before, how did mm-hmm. you learn how to do that? Or are there any resources you would recommend?
Yeah, when I teach people how to do like Facebook ads or whatever, even if that I have on online courses about that, I say, don't buy my course. First of all, go to YouTube, go to Google and search like the basics. There's so much information about how to start your account. Like all those things are free. Like our courses, we focus more on like the advanced things because we know that there's a niche there, because there's so many free content. If you go to YouTube, you will find so many things. And maybe after that, start searching for courses or for someone that can teach you more. But like, it's much more easy than people think. Like, and I heard that Facebook, that they obviously wanted to make it easier to you, because the more easier it is to put Facebook ads, the more money they're going to get, because more people are going to be able to use it. So they're starting to implement different strategies to make the distribution of your ads more easily. Because at the end of the day, they have more data and they are smarter than you. They have algorithms and all of kind of things that they are telling you to do. Hey, I know who your audience is. Just focus on the content, on the ad, on the creative part. So I think it's going to be easier and easier in the future.
Yeah, great point. And good advice about seeking out what you can get for free first and then going mm-hmm. there. Now, before we go, just maybe one last question. I'm curious, have there been any surprises about running an online course business for you, or things that you didn't expect?
Well, there's always surprises when starting a business. And it's a great question, because people think about their trip on the online business world that it's going to be like steady and easy. And the thing is, like, obviously there's going to be times that they're going to be horrible things. Like, I don't know, I remember doing a launch, and the last day of the launch, Facebook canceled our account, something like that. Like, there's going to be like horrible days, but at the end of the day, I really think that it's all worth it. Like, you don't even want to have it all like in a straight line path. Like the interesting part, at least for me, it's the adventure of not knowing what's going to happen and the discovery of new platforms, new strategies, new ways of doing things that are going to maintain you like alive doing what you're doing. And it's not for everyone. for everybody, because I think like there's a lot of people there that want more security and stability. But if this is what you want, it's gonna be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of adventures, what is up next for you? What are you doing next?
Well, the thing is, like right now, we bought a new company, 2 months ago, also in the online learning space. And this is a company that has like 16 years in the market. What they do is like they partner with also book publishers, and they do book summaries. They have like 500 book summaries for entrepreneurs and leaders. And the thing is, like, we saw that the company was doing really good in the SEO. Like, they were ranking for a lot of good words, but they were not doing like email marketing. They were not doing like any social media stuff. So we bought it recently, and now we're going to make that thing grow. And probably in the future, we will translate it to English and see what happens.
Well, for people who are listening, they might not realize that everything you've done online to date has been in Spanish.
Yeah, for sure. Like for now, like my videos out there are in Spanish. And I was thinking, and a lot of people were telling me to start doing content in English, but I always thought that there was so much market in the Spanish community, and we had so many more to do that we didn't do it. And I also probably is because I'm a little bit insecure about how I express myself, because obviously it's not my native language, and I'm very fluent when I talk in Spanish, but when it comes to English, I'm a little bit scared maybe. But it's something that I'm thinking about it, like to start doing maybe content in English.
Mm-hmm. Well, your English sounds great to me, but I totally agree with you that I'm sure the opportunities to take online courses into the Spanish-speaking world are huge. And I know with Teachable, only, I think, 60% of our users are in the U.S., mm-hmm. And so that means, of course, 40% are elsewhere. Some of them do use English. Many of them don't. Mm-hmm. But certainly it seems like it's starting to become more global, the spread of online courses.
For sure. And that's the thing that we want to do also. Like we want to bring one of our courses in the future will be about how to create your online course. And we will market to the Spanish community, because I think there's a lot of opportunity, not only for teachers, but for businesses. I think your online course, if you do it correctly, can be an introductory part of your other business, whatever it is. So yeah, for sure. There's a lot of opportunity still. And I don't know, maybe you see me doing YouTube videos in English in the near future.
I'm sure we might. Well, I could keep talking to you for hours, but I do think we have to wrap it up. So before we go, if people want to learn more or check out your content online, where can they find you?
Yeah, if you type Euge Oyer into YouTube or wherever, you will find me. And also our Spanish academy, our school, it's Emprende Aprendiendo, which it's a crazy name for maybe someone that speaks English. And you will find us, and that's it. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, thank you again, Euge, for joining us.
That was perfect pronunciation of my name.
Yeah, nailed it.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. You can learn more about Euge, his online businesses, and Teachable in the show notes at teachable.com/EIT14. That's EIT14. Before you go, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. And if you are enjoying the podcast, we hope you'll leave us a 5-star review. On behalf of Team Teachable, we hope you enjoyed this episode about business and marketing with Euge Oyer. We'll see you in the next episode of Everything is Teachable.
This podcast is produced by Teachable, where our mission is to empower creators to transform their knowledge into income. To date, we've helped over 60,000 creators build and sell online courses that have been shared with almost 20 million students, and we're just getting started. To learn more or start creating for free, visit teachable.com.